Welcome back to Bullseye on the Afternoon on AM 930 WEOL. Today we are at King Realty down in Wellington for our Spotlight on Wellington. And here in just a couple of minutes, we are going to sit down with Jim Rosenhaus with the Cleveland Indians Radio Network. Before we do that, I want to remind you that coming up at the end of our interview with Rosie, we're giving away two tickets to see the Indians take on the Kansas City Royals 1 week from today, thanks to our good friends at North Ridgeville Convenient Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. Rosie, as always, we appreciate the time. How was your All-Star break?
It was awesome, Bull. I had a chance to enjoy, once we got back from Cincinnati, a lot of the activities here in downtown Cleveland. So it was tremendous. We had a wonderful time. And I mean, by all accounts, you know, to take my word for it, it seemed like everyone who came in from out of town really enjoyed it. And certainly the folks here seemed to enjoy all the All-Star activities. So it was a good break. And you know, once in a lifetime, I think. Who knows when the All-Star game will come back, but I think the Indians and the city of Cleveland and Northeast Ohio in general really put their best foot forward.
And I'd like to stay on that for just another minute, because you're right, of all the things that I've read from a national perspective, I didn't see a single negative article written. I haven't heard anybody that came in from out of town say anything bad about it either. And I would imagine you've probably heard and seen a lot of the same things. I mean, we've heard a lot of the superstars that were in for the All-Star festivities blown away by just how cool the experience was. You know, a lot of the big wigs in the national media came away with nothing but positive things to say. Were those some of the same things that you saw and heard over the last 4 or 5 days?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it makes you feel good, because, I mean, I guess being close to it and being part of the staff here, you know how much time and effort a lot of people put into making it a great event. And then, you know, the teamwork with the city to make sure things came off well, and the different hotels and the convention center. So all the places that were a part of making it a great event, I mean, it just seemed like everything came off great. So it makes you feel good that we could pull it off. And I think, I forget who I was talking to, either yesterday or the day before, but they just said, you know, sometimes the All-Star games in the Midwestern cities that might be a little bit smaller than, say, last year, Washington, D.C., just a sprawling metropolis, it just fits better, because everything's within walking distance, and it seems to be a better fit, and people enjoy it more because it's convenient. You can get around a little bit, and it's not such a challenge to go from point A to point B with all the different events, and Cleveland certainly pulled that off to a T.
They absolutely did. Well, Rosie, moving out of the All-Star break and into a series that begins tonight, certainly a pretty big one on paper, no doubt about that, the Indians and the Twins. I guess the question here is, how much should we make of this first series right after the All-Star break?
Well, you know what, Bull? Here's why I think maybe it's bigger than perhaps it normally would be. If you just look at it from the standpoint, all right, say the Indians get swept, they're 8.5 back, but there's still a ton of season left to be played. But here's the key. Say they get swept and they're 8.5 back, or say they do the sweeping and they're only 2.5 back. That could have a real impact on how they approach the trade deadline, of which there's only one this season, and that's July the 31st. So we're getting closer to that point in time where they really have to make decisions that are not going to be easy on how they approach the trade deadline. And, you know, it could not only shape this season and how they contend down the stretch, but you know, it could impact their future seasons if they don't play their cards right. So it's a really interesting way to start the second half on a lot of different levels.
Yeah, and of course, the Tribe is rolling, having won their last 6 games, so they've got a little bit of momentum going into the series. And we'll come back around to tonight's matchup here in just a little bit. But I want to come back to something that I think had been speculated on a little bit. It actually became official since our last discussion about the news on Carlos Carrasco. And I know this was a lot of this is tough on a lot of Indians fans to finally hear for the first time, even though, again, it had kind of been speculated on for a while. How exactly has this been taken by the players down in the clubhouse?
Well, you know, I think for them it's been a while. So, you know, Carlos speaking to the media yesterday was kind of the last thing for him to do to kind of fill everybody in on what was going on. But the players, I think they've known for a while, and some of them may have known, you know, just hearing Carlos yesterday, you know, things started to become apparent in spring training. I don't know that many of his teammates knew that at that time, but from the standpoint of, you know, teammates knowing, I'm guessing quite a few of them may have known at that point in time. And then as time went by, I'm sure others were aware. So, you know, they've been on board. And it came to a forefront Tuesday night at the All-Star game. I think you saw the outpouring of support. And yesterday, when he was finished, you know, all of the guys were there. So they're giving him as much support as they can, and he's soaking it in, and he should. And it seems like, it's not the easiest situation, but it seems like he's handling it really, really well.
Absolutely. So far, it certainly seems as though he's handling it about as well as you possibly can. And, you know, he mentioned he thinks he can pitch by the end of July. I mean, being the competitor that he is, I think nobody should be surprised to hear that. But certainly time will tell, and we're hoping for a very speedy recovery. Well, Jake Bowers is a name that continues to pop up in Indians conversations in basically the entire month of June and the early stages of July. The months had by both Jose Ramirez and Jason Kipnis kind of overshadowed what the Tribe's gotten recently from Jake Bowers. In his last 30 games, Rosie, he's hit the ball a lot better, I think, than people realize. How do you think he's improved over the last couple months?
Talking to him, it's a lot of he's been trying to focus, and this holds true for a couple of different hitters on the club right now, just trying to focus on trying to hit the ball up the middle instead of trying to pull it a lot. And that seems to have made a significant difference for him. And I don't know if I can, you know, there's really much more detail than that, really. You know, he's doing a real good job of just staying up the middle. A lot of his base hits have come to the opposite field, and that seems to have been a real plus for him. So really just trying to maintain that approach. Now, it's not easy to, you know, we sit here and say, oh, yeah, just go up the middle. But it's not that easy. That's what he's trying to do, and it seems to be working.
Again, we're being joined by Jim Rosenhaus with the Cleveland Indians Radio Network. You can hear Rosie and Tom Hamilton tonight, 6:35 Indians warm-up, and at about 7:10, they'll deliver that first pitch down at Progressive Field between the Tribe and the Twins. Rosie, we've talked about the All-Star break quite a bit, and you've been in the baseball business for a very long time now. Commonly, how do the non-All-Stars get the opportunity to celebrate this four-day break?
A lot of them get out of town, and you know, I know some of them went south down to Florida. Tyler Olson went to Columbus because, you know, he spent some time there, and they enjoy the zoos and things like that. So they get out of town, get away, kind of recharge the batteries, you know, all those cliches. And that seems to work well for most of them. So, you know, I think that's what you're seeing from a lot of different players. They just kind of get away and go do whatever. But some of them stayed here and were at the game or the home run derby, you know, whichever one, and seemed to enjoy it. So it's kind of a mix of what they do. And, of course, there were four who were here anyway for the game itself. So I think that's what you see for the most part.
Well, now, of course, we are officially halfway through the season. And as you've had a chance now to examine not only the numbers but the personalities as well, has there been a player or two that's really kind of surprised you and exceeded your expectations?
Roberto Perez would stand out. He jumps out immediately. You never know. You know, he's been begging for years, the last couple of years, to, hey, play me every day or play me more than you have been, and I'll produce. And a lot of players say that, you know, I haven't gotten a chance. I haven't gotten that opportunity. And then when they do get it, it's just okay. And they are who they are, so to speak. But I think Roberto has, you know, put his money where his mouth was, and he is proving that he can be a really good everyday catcher in the big leagues. Look, you know, did the Indians miss the boat by not playing him sooner? No, they had an all-star catcher in Yan Gomes who was, you know, obviously playing very well for them. So it wasn't his time yet, but it certainly is now, and that's been the biggest surprise in the first half for me.
I mean, I think the numbers definitely back that up. Plus, there are certain numbers that you sometimes cannot quantify. I mean, I think you talk to any pitcher on that staff, they'll tell you just how much they appreciate Roberto Perez and the way he's able to handle all those different personalities as well. One thing that really kind of comes to tie into that as well, Rosie, we always talk about the depth of pitching, not only on the big league roster, but in the entire system. How about the catching depth in this system as well? You know, you've got Eric Haas hitting really well at AAA, and I mean, last year the Indians dealt their top prospect in Francisco Mejia, and then of course they made that Yan Gomes trade last year as well. There seems to be a great deal of depth at that particular position as well.
I think so, and look, it's a position where you like to have some depth because, you know, you're a foul tip away, so to speak, from, you know, needing another catcher. So they've done a real nice job developing their catching, and it's gone well, obviously, from a catching standpoint for the most part. So, yeah, that's a position of strength, I would say, right now.
And one other halfway point question here as well. Would you say it's fair to assess the bullpen as the most surprising and successful unit on the team so far?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's fair to say just based on maybe what you were thinking going into the season. You know, just some unknowns there. So I think that's very fair to say. And they've performed extremely well, and that's been exciting to see. And it's been a huge key allowing them to stay over 500 and then go on this run of late. And it'll be interesting to see if they can keep it going in the second half. I think they like the mix that, you know, it's a lot of different arm angles. It's not necessarily a lot of power arms, but maybe that's okay, which is saying something in today's game.
All right, Rosie, we'll close out on this. Let's get a preview of tonight's pitching matchup and, of course, this weekend series, a really big one against the Minnesota Twins. Clevinger and Gibson, a pretty nice matchup on the slab for tonight.
Yeah, and you know, I think when you see two good teams, you should see some good pitching matchups throughout a series, and I think we'll see that this weekend. Look, it's two teams that are at the top of the division. They're well over 500 now, and those type of teams don't get there without good pitching, and especially good starting pitching. Gibson's really come on nicely, and certainly based on his last start, maybe Clevinger's close to being where he's been in the past, and I know that would be exciting for the Indians if that's indeed the case, because he was really good the last time out.
He certainly was. Rosie, as always, we thank you for the time, and we look forward to your call tonight.
All right, Andy, thank you.
Thank you, Rosie. Again, Jim Rosenhaus with the Cleveland Indians Radio Network joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. All right, let's open up those phone lines. Thanks to North Ridgeville Convenient Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. We are giving away two tickets to the game 1 week from tonight. Friday, July 19th, the Indians and the Royals. If you want two tickets, call 440-322-0930. That's 440-322-0930. We're giving away two thanks to North Ridgeville Convenient Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. It's time for us to take a break here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Matt Douglas and I will come back with more from King Realty as we continue to shine the spotlight on Wellington here on Bullseye on the Afternoon on AM 930 WEOL.